Admiring Flowers, a Hannibal fic. Written by Kashi B. Read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. With the reading, teening up audiences. The relationship, Will Graham, Hannibal Lecter. And the additional tags, unhealthy relationships, mythology references, and alternate universe. Summary. Will's not a goddess, but he gets kidnapped by the Reaper all the same. Hannibal's hand is gentle as he strokes Will's cheek. It's barely a brush of fingertips against sensitive skin. Will shivers each time the hand moves. Hannibal is smiling, gently, lovingly at him, traces down his cheek and onto his lips, presses his thumb lightly at the seam between them. He doesn't seem disappointed that Will presses them defiantly closed as he does. He rarely seems disappointed in Will. That's one of the worst parts of it. There is too much competition as it is. Will's captor is just as capable of ripping his flesh open and tearing his heart out to admire it, of dismembering a man in front of Will with the same patient smile as he explains exactly how to separate all the different parts of him and how best to put them to use. Not a single one put to waste, of setting up a new horrifying mystery when he deems Will too bored, as he is of pressing soft kisses on Will's face. It seems to be all the same to him, this twisted game, or maybe some skewed sense of affection. And yet, Will leans unconsciously into the man's touch. And yet he seeks this affection, as if it's the only thing in the world left for him, the only thing keeping him alive, or keeping him sane. Which one is more important, he wonders sometimes. He's sure the answer he would give is wrong. In some ways, he supposes it is. He tries not to think about it too much. He fails helplessly each time. And each time Hannibal ruffles his hair and calls him good boy, and in the next breath, he cuts a thin line across Will's arm with one of the countless knives he carries. A threat. Or perhaps a reward. It's not even a week into their working relationship when Hannibal starts bringing Will lunch. There's nothing more to speak of.
I can't imagine that you're the type to take care of yourself in this way, the man shrugs when Will asks him. And I enjoy taking care of those around me.
It's a bold-faced lie. Will doesn't need to be a detective to see it. He isn't, strictly speaking. Not that it never mattered, especially not now. Still, he doesn't try to stop the man. Hannibal takes it for the silent permission that it is. There's no good reason to refuse. It's not like Will has good reason to suspect that the man wants to poison him. It's probably not something Will should worry about at the moment, but old habits die hard. Will can't say he's wrong either. For all that he's not that interested in Hannibal as a person, it wouldn't be too bad to get on good terms with a colleague. Will struggles with that as it is, and Will can admit Hannibal's a great cook. His repertoire is diverse, Will notes, but he still favors Middle Eastern dishes. Alas, it's hard to say anything more concrete than that when the cuisine of the region is so intermixed. He's no expert. It isn't exactly uncommon, as far as he knows. Will's no historian either. And he can't help but pay attention to, most of them featuring pomegranate, seeds prominent in each freshly chopped salad, molasses mixed into stews and marinades. It's a distinctly sweet and tart flavor. Will can't say what in it troubles him until other details add up, because in itself, the preference is barely of note. It's Hannibal's other tendencies that make the idea get stuck on the tip of his tongue. There's nothing special about the way Will wakes up. One moment he's asleep, and the next he is sitting up in bed, clutching at the soft sheets so hard his knuckles turn white. It isn't unusual for him to fall asleep after a difficult case, his mind exhausted and overworked and hazy. It takes Will a lot of energy to empathize with the person, be it in everyday life or a case. The only difference is, it's easier for him to imagine the inner workings of a criminal's mind, and incredibly difficult to intuit something that ought to be obvious to someone else. Mostly, he doesn't try. It should have been his first clue, how easy it was to try and get a read on Hannibal. Instead, Will blames it on paranoia. It's no wonder his mind is acting up when he's back in the field after everything. Not that he ever successfully eliminated it from his life. It's a surprise to see Hannibal's dark blue walls and ridiculously ornate decor. It is not, however, an alarming one. The man's house was far closer to the crime scene, if Will recalls correctly. He always does. And it wouldn't even be the first time he stayed over instead of driving home. It's just that something feels ever so slightly off, and despite his best efforts, Will simply can't shake this feeling. The shitty thing about having anxiety is, it makes it difficult to distinguish when something's really wrong and when one's brain is simply making things up. As an investigator, Will tends to go with his gut. It's safer that way, even if it runs a risk in other social areas. Right now, it's telling him to run. This time, Will doesn't. Afterwards, it's far too late to even try. Mythology comes up in cases far more than Will had thought when he just decided he wants to be an investigator. Perhaps he should not be surprised. Spirituality has always played a large role in people's lives. It's no wonder many seek to justify their actions with the divine, or simply to imitate it in their lives, even when it comes to the criminal context. More often than not, the illusion, while important to the person, is not a key component of any given crime. With the way Will works, that means that he rarely needs to actually know the context. He pushes it away, like any other distraction, and focuses on the practical aspects of the criminal's thoughts. What needed to be done to leave that kind of mark on the victim's skin? From what position the attacker came to leave this sort of splatter? Why would the murderer choose this particular method? All of that depends on the motive and relations and who the victim was, much more than what they believed in, or what kind of stories interested them. This is not to say it never plays a role, and when it did, it posed a significant obstacle to Will's understanding of a crime scene. It takes Hannibal and his almost encyclopedic knowledge of the subject, as well as many others, to see the difference it makes. It makes Will consider hitting the books again. He doesn't. He asks Hannibal about it instead. Not as an excuse to spend more time with the man, not at first, but because the man tells it like he lived it, and it's far more engaging and informational than Will can manage on his own. He would make for an excellent professor, Will thinks, and he's nice to be around. They're running after a suspect, him and Hannibal. Will really, really shouldn't, since officially he's not entirely back, nor does he want to be. But he simply can't let her go. He can't take spending any more time in her head as the team struggles to find her again. Hannibal shouldn't be chasing suspects even more. He's an outside profiler, not an official investigator. It's far out of his job description. He's not trained for that at all, but apparently he can't help following Will whenever he runs straight into trouble. It's as comforting as it is frustrating. It's nice, being trusted so easily. It is also an incredibly bad idea, because Will's self-preservation instincts are basically non-existent, and he'd hate to drag another person down with him. It's the only thing that makes Will reconsider his carelessness. His own life is often an afterthought, but others' lives are always a priority. It's hard to say when exactly he learned to sort his priorities like this. He suspects the answer is far earlier than he should have. They do catch her in the end. The suspect is good at hiding, but she's not the athletic type. Will has to be to keep up with his 7 dogs. The problem is, so is Hannibal. He gets shot in his right side for the trouble. By the time Will is done cuffing the woman, because in the circumstances she is the primary danger for both of them still. The wound doesn't look too bad. Hannibal is likely to make a quick recovery with speedy medical attention. Will cannot forget the image of the man he's growing close to falling as everything around him turns red. Will knows exactly what he saw, but what he saw does not seem to match reality. The thing is, Will knows what Stockholm Syndrome looks like, has seen the way a victim clings to a kidnapper as the detectives close in on them, tries to convince them that it's all fine, or become unresponsive after the rescue. It's not entirely common, but it's not unheard of either. Will has been a part of plenty of cases. So has Hannibal. Professionally, Will supposes, but also with Will by his side. Maybe Will should have recognized the glint of fascination in those eyes. If only he wasn't far too distracted with a criminal he deemed more interesting at the time. If only there weren't far too many different thoughts Will had looking into those eyes. Far too many possibilities. And maybe Will recognized something back then, on an intuitive level. Or maybe he was far more tired of being alone than he wanted to admit, and Hannibal was nothing but attractive. The thing is, Will had read all the psychology texts and field manuals on it. Naturally, Hannibal is the same, if for a different reason. He can explain with precision how it happens, note all the risk factors and signs. He has taught the module a couple times too, because his bosses always stick him with psychology. Will doesn't blame them, and it's not like he overly minds. Too bad for him that knowing doesn't always help, or maybe it's that at this point, despite everything, before knowing anything, he is half in love with Hannibal already.
The thing is, Will has been in the mind of as many victims as criminals. That leaves a mark. That leaves an understanding. It leaves him both too qualified to notice things, and far too used to rapid, unexplainable change to notice if anything is off about him. Hannibal doesn't hurt Will, as much as Will would have expected. Not physically, at least. In the beginning, Will could swear there's no difference in how Hannibal treats him now, and how he treated Will before kidnapping him. Aside from the obvious, of course. The two of them spend as much time together as Will allows. Hannibal hovers in the background when he doesn't. Somehow, it doesn't strike Will as abnormal. He's used to Hannibal's presence following him around, to two common accidental meetings in between the ones forced on them by Jack. Will sincerely doubts he was asked with no strings attached either, even if Hannibal seemed more enthused than Will himself from the very beginning. Hannibal cooks for him, and they eat together. Will doesn't ask about the contents. It's not like he has much of an alternative. The man will force-feed him if he deems it necessary. Hannibal doesn't volunteer the information. The knowledge still grates on Will's nerves. It is in this continuous lack of change that Will finds his answer. Hannibal doesn't need to break his bones or tear him open to entertain himself. He likes it when the mood strikes, certainly, and could do it almost endlessly if he so chose. More often than not, Hannibal finds playing with Will's mind far more engaging. Not enough to break, but enough to leave a permanent mark behind. Even for a god, a mind is not so easily healed. Not without rewriting it, something Hannibal made more than clear that he does not intend to do. The reason so little changes is that the game has started long before Hannibal revealed his hand, before Will began guessing at it. The change thrills him. It's a bad sign, and yet there isn't anyone to stop him. For a moment, Will thinks he sees something deep in the ground, deeper than he should be able to see in the shallow hole he's digging by hand in the dirt. It's dark and deep and moving. Hears the movement of a river and splashing of something hitting its surface. The next moment it's gone. Will shakes his head. This is a terrible time to get distracted by the tricks his mind decides to play on him. It is becoming increasingly common as of late, enough that Will thinks he does need to see someone about it. As soon as he gets a little more free time. He isn't sure if he's hoping the issue is psychological or neurological in nature. It could be both. Will doesn't want someone picking his brain, sure, but an issue with the physical aspect of it could be much more severe, could be impossible to cope with. On the other hand, Will might not mind as much if it's Hannibal he has to talk to. Their not-quite sessions have been tolerable so far. The dirt parts easily under his hands, freshly laid down as it is, revealing a dense network of roots and another tangled corpse. The skin isn't as dull as the rest, suggesting its freshness. The burn mark prominent on his face can be used as an identifying mark in the absence of anything else. It looks far too old not to. Will doesn't think much as he grabs a smaller cutting from the edge of the forest bed with him. He doesn't usually care for reminders of old cases, but something about what happened during this one caught his attention. Will would need to think the case through again to figure out exactly what it was. Something Hannibal said, maybe.
"Did you know?"
Hannibal asks him at some point. The two of them are sitting at the kitchen table. It's one of the few things that are different between Hannibal's two residences, but only barely. Some materials one just can't get in the realm of the humans. Hannibal always strives to find the closest alternative.
"There are quite a few stories of deities being damned, the moment they laid their eyes on someone."
"A woman, you mean?" Will huffs. He doesn't think Hannibal means that, but it is a commonality in all of the myths he knows. Which is not too much, admittedly, as he never expected to need it. He has plenty of time to fix that now. Hannibal is, after all, offering, if Will understands. He always does.
"That's what the modern retellings say, I suppose," Hannibal hums. "I'll take it as a yes."
Will is not exactly surprised. He is, however, just a little annoyed. He doesn't like what the man might be implying. None of the half-dozen options he can think of off of that smile alone.
"Is that your way of trying to put the blame on me?" he asks.
Will will be the one to damn Hannibal, he's sure, but not in this way. It doesn't matter if he loves Hannibal or not. He has to hold on to that determination. Because, as I recall, the Chesapeake Ripper appeared long before the two of us met. Will can't be certain Hannibal didn't know of his existence before, but he does have a feeling. It wouldn't change much anyway. Everyone's choices are their own. He keeps reminding himself of that every night,
as it becomes harder and harder to hold on to his conviction and justify being with Hannibal in the same breath. He can't.
Perish the thought.
Hannibal says that everyone Will knows is dead. Will doesn't know what to make of it. With Hannibal, it's all mind games and care disguised as broken bones, and knife wounds disguised as games. Maybe it's the same thing. So when the man whispers,
"You better forget about seeing her again,"
against Will's lips in response to the question of how Alana's doing,
"I'm afraid it's simply not possible."
Will thinks the worst, but when Hannibal smiles as he chops shredded chicken for enchiladas and tells Will,
"Jack got shot today. The prognosis is pretty grim, I'd say."
Will thinks the man's just messing with him. Hannibal doesn't ever outright lie, but his relationship with the truth is like that of a fae. Not a word can be taken at face value. The thing is, it's not the first time Hannibal tried to convince him that he's the only one Will has left. And it's not like Will can check, being stuck in Hannibal's palace all day. The man is ridiculously possessive. Will wonders if the point is to make himself cling tighter to the man. Hannibal is more than capable of that. Will does not have any illusions as to just how lonely he is. Enough to fall for it. It's just strange to consider that. Perhaps Hannibal might be unaware of just how desperately and irrationally in love Will is with him already. Will doesn't, by any means, think that Hannibal is infallible. But he had built up the image of him from the friend he had, and the killer, that led them all in a fruitless chase, and the deity that has decided to steal him away. This sort of thing wasn't part of that sum. Which one of them would that be a clearer reflection on? The end.